pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
Oh, wow. I don't know about the costume, but that's some set of wheels.
Hi, I'm Marv Wolfman, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Guest, and I am your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Join me today on today's show, my amazing friends in the North, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own James Tiberius Batman Laird Jeff Bell.
Howdy.
Hi.
That's it. That's all I got is a howdy.
Howdy. I missed you guys last week.
Me too.
Let's talk a little bit about what happened. Not to be embarrassing or anything, but I want to bridge that into something important. So
well, fuck, it's not like we haven't talked about it was going to happen, but
right. Yeah,
we got our account locked down.
Mm-hmm.
And with promise of payment as soon as possible. I don't know how this girl is probably the best customer service worker I have ever dealt with. I'm just like, hey, here's the deal. I'm fucking unemployed and I'm working on it and I'm trying to fundraise for it and I'll see what I can do. And she's like, okay, I'll give you a week. And I'm like, okay, what restrictions? And it's no uploads. Nothing new. You can have what you have for a week. And then some help.
So if you went to the comicbookpodcast.com this last week, it was up the whole time.
Yeah.
So it wasn't taken down, but we could not upload a new episode. And we had an episode ready. We didn't record it. but we were gonna have Doug Wagner, our friend Doug Wagner, on. And we're gonna talk about his new book that's coming out. I'm going to talk about it today because when we get to Picks of the Future, because you're going to need to order it very soon. We'll see if we can't get him next month, but he was letting me know, yeah, this was the window, because he wound up going to Virginia this weekend to do a convention, a horror convention. Yeah, so he's across the nation right now, so... but yeah, we had a good show planned, but these things happen. And honestly, there are so many ways you could help us out. The obvious one is joining our Patreon at patreon.com/defendmedia. Every week we give you extra content for both shows. You may not be into the politics side. That's okay. We got extra content just for this show. They do extra content for I Told You So.
We do. We're doing a new one this week.
Yeah, so
yay.
you get good relationship advice, extra content. You get comic book podcast extra content. You get the Left Show extra content, which are stories that we want to talk about because they're funny, but they didn't feel appropriate in the regular episode. So that's what we have for you every week on Patreon. And it, you know what? There isn't a how do I put it? There isn't a tier that you start at. You can start at whatever you can afford.
It's the honor system.
Yeah. And then we have a donation page still. It goes into a GoFundMe, so, or does it just go into Venmo? I can't remember. But you can donate directly to the show, however much you want to donate. It's a struggle to keep this show running because we're reliant on paying for the internet, paying for everything else. You think, oh, you just record a show and you put it out there. Yeah, but it's where you put it, where the other services can grab it and pull it down. It's all kinds of things like that. So,
Yeah.
So, let's help us out. Get in there and help us out. We're gonna be doing a begathon for probably the next couple of months, just because it's giving season. I know. Look, my paycheck does not. I get a really good paycheck, and it does not go anywhere anymore. I'm once again back to the end of the week after getting paid. 1 week after getting paid, I'm like, well, we're out of money. And I didn't even put any in savings. And this job was the this was the salary where I was supposed to be able to start a savings account. And right. I can't even put any money in savings right now. I get it. I completely get it. But if you can help us out in any way, if you are secretly sitting on $1 million, we'll name the show after you. You know?
If you're secretly sitting on $5, we'll take it.
Yeah, exactly. There was more stuff about, this is a little left show, but there was more stuff about George Soros, you know, in the news cycle. The Republicans bitching about George Soros again. I'm like, we would seriously name it the George Soros Presents the Left Show if he would donate to us.
Five fucking bucks from George Soros, I would rename this goddamn show.
Yeah, I know. If it was a regular, like, I will just donate $5 a month. It'd be like, it is now George Soros the Left Show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's that kind of thing. It's like, anything you could do to help us out, we would really appreciate it. But on that note, what have you guys been watching out there on the, come out of Tinseltown this last week? Joss?
You guys, High Potential came back. And so I'm watching High Potential again. I need to find a routine so that I'm watching it every week because I think I'm behind again already. But
I saw a trailer for that and it wasn't what I thought it was.
What do you mean?
I thought it was about pot.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, it's not about marijuana, you guys.
Yeah.
This is the detective show and she's a consultant with a photographic memory.
Mm-hmm.
And so does things unconventional and her cop buddy doesn't like it. And he's all grim and,
I've seen this show.
Yeah. Yeah. It's delightful. It's so
I've seen the show.
Fun.
It was a different name, but I've seen this show. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's based on, you had mentioned when it came out last year, it's based on a French show.
Yeah. Absolutely right. And they also did that with, there's one on CBS. She's kind of a lawyer, but she's really quirky and winds up solving crime. But it's that kind of general je ne sais quoi, as it were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've seen this. It's formulaic. We've all seen this show before. But for some reason, this one, I fancy this one. I just like this one. It's cute. And then Mom and I on our Fridays are still watching House of Guinness. Oh my gosh, if you want a fun historical drama that is maybe based in reality, but not likely, I don't know. I don't know how true it is, but it is an interesting watch. It's a really good watch. So go give that one a watch on Netflix. So, and that's really about all that I have been watching. How about you, Jeff? What have you watched?
That's a very good question. I thought I had finished Alien Earth, but then I was flipping past it on Disney. And saw that the little progress thing had just started, and I was like, "Holy shit! I got more to go!" And it was just one episode, but it was the final episode of the season, and I was like, "Oh fuck!" You know, I'm glad I put a 1 month cushion in between that and now because I'm 1 month closer to season two.
Ooh,
I mean, it was started interesting, stayed interesting, and got more interesting as it went. I did a rewatch of Picard season three when I'm down. I watched Star Trek. It makes me feel better. So I watched this entire documentary called The Center Seat.
Oh.
And I thought it was a documentary. It is actually a documentary series. It's eight episodes, each about an hour long. It goes into just what a fucking lunatic Gene Roddenberry was.
No shit.
Yeah.
If you've probably watched, was it Crisis on the Bridge or something like that? Trouble on the Bridge.
Yeah.
The William Shatner documentary. And it was like, Jesus Christ, Roddenberry.
Yeah. In this one, they talked to a lot of the writers that had to work with him, you know, and like not a one of them has anything nice to say, you know, and it's like, no, he was a kind human being, but just like, okay. Picard season three.
But it would take it upon himself to rewrite your story.
Yeah. Yeah, I did Picard season two last week.
Mm-hmm.
Just have it on, you know, while I'm doing stuff. Restarted Discovery here a couple days ago. But in a I don't know, feeling like I wanted to punch myself in the nuts, but really didn't feel like putting the effort into it. I watched Fantastic Four 1 and 2, the Jessica Alba years. Not as bad as I want to remember them as. Not good.
That's fair.
Not good.
Not good.
Oh,
not
no.
Good.
No, no, no.
But then I started watching the newer Fantastic Four, the one with the kid from fucking Maverick. And, Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even see that one.
Oh, the special effects were glorious, but the story was bad.
Mm. Yeah.
And they got rid of the cosmic rays and instead it was lava or some shit. I don't know. It just.
What?
Yeah, they fucked with it a bit.
Quite a bit. It was based on the Ultimate Fantastic Four, the attempted Ultimate Fantastic Four to retell the Fantastic Four in a different way. It got kind of that comic book got really weird, but the idea was Reed was, instead of going into space, because we were already in space, why would Reed need to get into space? They said, let's do it's Reed trying to get into the negative zone, and that somehow the radiation from the negative zone is what gave them all their powers.
Yep.
And Doom, of course, was in the middle of it all again and got his powers with them, which.
Kind of.
But both Fantastic Four 1 and that kind of bug me. I'm like, Doom should be a completely separate thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they did it in both movies.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, what else? What else was there? There might have been something. Nope, that's it. What do you got?
Has been much. Mostly just regular stuff, you know. Still watching Kimmel, because... a bunch of censorship. And I'm sure that'll wear off soon. Still watching some of the other things. The seasons are starting up again, but God, if they've gotten to any of my shows yet. there's one I'm interested in, but Michelle didn't want to watch it last night, so we didn't watch it. She did. It is also spooky season, so we're usually watching Halloween movies.
Yes.
And she said, you haven't seen this one. You need to see it. It's called Beautiful Creatures. It came out in 2013, starring Alice Englert and Alden Ehrenreich. I think that's how you say his name. He played Han Solo in Solo. The Star Wars story. Much younger. I mean, it was only a few. It was like 5 years younger. But man, his face definitely aged a little between that and Solo. You got Rachel Brosnahan playing a great little witch character. But it's about witches in the South. So it's got a Southern feel and a kind of an antebellum thing going on. Jeremy Irons is in it. A surprise casting of Emma Thompson is in it as well. It's a really good movie. And usually I hate anything antebellum. I hate that stuff. It bores me. It was like, it's modern, you know, modern South, but you know, all the throwback to, you know, the town still recreates a famous Civil War battle that happened there, all that kind of shit.
Well, you of know, course and it does.
They side up either Union or Confederacy. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not into any of that, but this one really worked well, and I fucking enjoyed the hell out of it. So, yeah, we're checking out Beautiful Creatures. If you haven't seen it, it's streaming right now on Paramount Plus. So if you got Paramount, you can watch it. It's worth checking out. It's kind of cool. I liked it a lot. And then this was last week. We didn't get to talk about it. Peacemaker.
Yeah. Quite good.
Oh, yeah. You guys were mad.
I wouldn't say mad as opposed to more like, of a, what the fuck?
What the fuck just happened?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Not cool, man. Not cool. But not that we can talk about it because it is a huge spoiler, but I've already figured out how they're going to fix it.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
But we're going to talk about that in the news.
But it was, we got the creation of something that we haven't had yet in the DC Cinematic Universe. So thank you, James Gunn, for that. Because that was a big... People forget just how big that was. And I don't want to say it because it's a spoiler. But people forget how big that was as a comic book series back in the early 2000s. And then they tried to bring it back a couple of years ago and completely fucked it up. Because it was... Unfortunately, Brian Michael Bendis writing it, but also quitting DC at the same time. And the artist that he chose was just not getting the work done. So it would take forever for an issue to come out. And by then you'd forgotten everything that was going on. And then Bendis was phoning it in. So yeah, it just wasn't a good attempt at that series. So I'm hoping this fixes it up a little bit.
All right then.
Yeah. That's as vague as I that's as detailed as
I
could be.
I think that people who know what you're talking about are not going to be mad that you talked about it, and those of us that don't know what you're talking about are like, okay.
Okay, we'll see what that we'll see what it is you're talking
we'll
about.
See what I that get. Means.
Yeah, it's I'll tell you, it's only in the season finale, which worked out really well, and I was like, that was a quick move, but okay, I like that. Okay. But yeah, the ending piece, I was like, what the fuck. And it was great. It was fucking great. But there's more to that story in Tinseltown News.
Was that your intro to Tinseltown News?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That was unexpected. I'll stop now.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Well, Diane Keaton's dead. 79 years old. I don't know. That did sucks. She ever do any sci-fi? Did she? I mean, she's famous as shit. I get it, but
she's Diane Keaton, so yeah. Obviously we got to talk about it. But yeah, I can't remember if she did.
I don't think so.
Any sci-fi? Yeah.
No, more like horror. But that was her marriage, or her not her marriage, her dating Woody Allen.
Yes.
Yeah, because one of the things that the patriarchy wouldn't shut the fuck up about was how she'd never been married.
Well,
it's like,
yeah.
She also won an Oscar. No? You know, it's like, she was a very accomplished person. The fact that she didn't get married is last paragraph stuff.
Right.
So,
right.
Anyway, Diane Keaton, my wife will miss you.
I'll miss her, too.
Okay. Maybe it is a girl thing. I don't know.
I never saw her give a bad performance, so I...
No, but I have seen her in bad stuff.
Yeah, I've seen her in bad films.
Right.
I've seen Johnny Depp in bad films, and I've never seen him give a bad performance. It's like he still commits to the bit, even if the whole time I'm cringing through the movie, you know?
Looking at you, Tonto!
Yep.
Oh!
I'm like, when people say, well, that Lone Ranger movie, I'm like, yeah, but Johnny Depp, man, that was such a perfect performance as Tonto. Because he just committed to the bit. I had the same problem with the Dark Shadows movie he did. I don't like
yeah.
it. I didn't like the movie, but I love Johnny Depp. And with Diane Keaton, same thing. It's like, I've never seen her give a bad performance. So, yeah, she will be missed.
We also lost.
I also liked her style. I also liked her style.
You've always been a fan of big floppy hats. That is true.
Yes.
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 Drew Struzan, the greatest movie poster artist of all time, they say.
Yep.
Has passed away at the age of 78.
We're losing people in their 70s this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he did Star Wars stuff. He did Indiana Jones stuff.
The iconic Back to the Future poster, he did that one.
Yep.
So
right.
Most people will see that and go, oh my God, that was him? Yeah, that was him.
Yeah. So he's passed away as well at the ripe early age of in his 70s. Penelope Milford has passed away. Oscar nominee. We know her. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Jocelyn does, but we know her as the counselor from Heathers.
Oh, I know Heathers.
Yeah.
I know Heathers.
She had favorite line in Heathers. One of my favorite, well, not my favorite, not the favorite line, but one of my favorite lines in Heathers. You know, I was trying to get people to talk about it. You chose that time as make fun of the hippie.
Yeah, it's fair.
It's like, yeah. Oh, my God. She was so good in that. And it was like, yeah, she just had this talent, but never could get anywhere, you know, with her career.
Yep. Yeah, 77. 77.
Mm-hmm.
Another one. Boy, do I not care. But Ace Frehley, lead guitarist of Kiss, and it says solo artist, I recall nothing, is dead at 74. I'm not a big fan of Kiss, and most of the reason I'm not a big fan of Kiss is fucking Gene Simmons. So,
I mean, fair.
What a piece of human garbage that guy is.
Well, I get you not liking Kiss, because Kiss was, for a kid growing up in the 70s, Kiss was everything. They were like superheroes because of the makeup and the costumes. So much so that Stan Lee actually made comic books about them, where they got superpowers. But yeah, Ace Frehley, he was a guitar god for a lot of.
He's a good guitar player. Gen X. That is true.
Oh, for sure.
And for Gen X rock stars, he was a mega influence on them. The guitarist for Pearl Jam. Got him to come and play jam with them a couple of times because he was a huge Ace Frehley fan. No, he did have a solo career. So at one point Kiss all put out solo albums at the same time. And they did it, you know, they put the makeup on and they all recorded solo albums separately. And the Frehley one was considered the best of the batch. One of the best ones by everyone, by critics, by fans, everyone said that was the best one. When he left the band because of substance abuse, once he sobered up, he formed a new band called Frehley's Comet. And I heard a lot about that band from my metalhead friends at the time. So,
fair. Yeah.
So they were okay. If you know, it was a very specific genre of music. Frehley was still a great guitarist, but they were okay. And then he eventually broke up Frehley's Comet and just went back to being a solo artist again, where he just sort of he'd drop albums, and if you were a fan, you picked him up. That was all there was to it. He didn't break through with a new album as a solo artist. He wasn't a Peter Gabriel or something like that, you know. Most people forgetting Peter Gabriel was originally in Genesis, so yeah. Because his solo career was so much better than anything he ever did with Genesis. But yeah, for Frehley, yeah, he sort of soloed out, and they invited him back. He went back when they got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They did a tour, and then promptly after doing the tour, Stanley and Simmons fired Frehley and Chris again and brought back the guys they replaced them with in 1981 when Frehley and Chris left Kiss. Because they're like, yeah, they're not working out for us. And I'm like, are they just not wanting to be on the road as much as you two guys are? I never figured out what the problem was. And then they did a thing in Vegas, but Frehley didn't want to live. He didn't want to live in Vegas for a while. He's like, you should have done it at the Madison Square Garden instead of in Vegas.
Yeah.
We could have sold that out.
With him there.
And that I completely agree with. Had they done Madison Square Garden, they would have sold it out every night as Kiss. Yeah.
Still didn't like Kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tried, you know.
Say.
You know what I did like? I did like Aztec Camera's cover of Party All Night Long.
There you go. That was actually a really good cover.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I miss Aztec Camera. And it just popped up in my head. So now I'm going to have to talk to Pandora and see what I can do about that. Because I can't do fucking Spotify anymore. God damn it.
Right. Jeez. Ugh.
What happened with Spotify?
Oh, Spotify is running ICE recruitment commercials.
Oh.
And I don't know that guys. Because I'm on someone else's paid account.
Mm.
So I don't get commercials. So I had no idea. None of
right.
that. Anyway, they're just assholes, so I'm not going to give them a listening. I'm going to go back over to Pandora and let things be more random, because the truth is...
I'm so sorry if you're listening to this on Spotify that you have to hear those commercials.
Oh, keep downloading from Spotify for us, please.
Yeah, keep downloading our stuff from Spotify.
Yeah. No commercials in my podcasts. that I don't.
We
put
may
there
have
myself.
We may have convictions and morals about this kind of shit, but we also are whores, and we need you downloading stuff from Spotify. We know where the bread is buttered.
Will you remind me when we record the Left Show about hypocritical whores?
Yes.
All right, because I got a little story to share, but it doesn't go in here at all.
That's a great band name.
Hypocritical whores.
Yeah.
There's a
that
huge.
Should have been my band name.
There's a huge rumor on the internet right now that I am personally excited about and hope that it's true. Is Jenna Ortega joining Star Wars?
Oh, yes.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen Killing a Unicorn yet?
As a Sith. Yeah. What's up?
Have you guys seen Killing a Unicororn yet?
Not yet.
No.
I see the commercials and I'm like, I think I want to watch it, but I haven't watched it yet.
There's nothing overwhelming about it. It's not going to change your life. It's not even going to be a cult movie. You know?
It's just whelming.
It was, yeah, but it was entertaining as hell, and Jenna Ortega was funny as hell in it. And she was supposed to be. I mean, she's in it with Paul Rudd, but she's got comedy chops. Not just, that's funny on Wednesday because she downplays everything. No, this kid's got chops. So her as a Sith? Fuck yeah, I could see that. That'd be great.
That's exciting.
Yeah, but we don't know. Just a rumor, but worth bringing up. Stephen Colbert came out with a little announcement this week for New York Comic Con that he's basically going to be, I'm guessing, the flight computer in the weird ship school.
Well, he's
that's exciting.
He's the
computer
sort of
dean.
Like the dean of students, but he's a hologram, I think, like the Doctor.
Yeah.
And so he can be anywhere at any time and just, but he's not appearing in it yet. I'm like, okay, maybe season 3, because they're shooting season 2 now. So by the time he's done with The Late Show in May, he might be able to go film have an appearance in season 3. We'll finally see the dean of students, you know, in real life or something. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, fun little announcement.
They have his voice.
Yeah.
That's delighted. Cool. Yeah.
I am delighted. So James Gunn has let us know that there will be no Peacemaker season 3 because the TV show opens all the avenues to what's going to happen. Which is where I came up with, which I will share with you guys when we're not listening, my theory on how to fix how it ended.
Yeah, ended on a mega cliffhanger.
So big!
We got to wait for Joss to catch up before
no,
you can
you don't.
Reveal that. Oh, okay.
No, because I'm a big believer in the fact that this show is not new. Like, this season is new, but I'm so far behind because I didn't start watching it when it first came out. I'm a big believer in that's on me, not on you guys.
Well, it's just more, I can do it in a word and not spoil it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Lanterns.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's going to be bridging into the whole thing as well. So, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, the next movie we get is Man of Tomorrow, but the next series we get is Lanterns, I believe, in January.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we can watch that as soon as we're done with Fallout Season 2.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to that shit right now. They're going to do New Vegas, and I'm just so excited because it was such a fun storyline in the game that I can't imagine they could fuck it up too bad.
Right.
Considering how well they did on season 1.
That's
yeah, fair. I was going to say, I'm not a gamer, but I remember the talk around Fallout and Fallout New Vegas when they were coming out. So
yep.
I'm excited for the gamers to watch their show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen Fallout, give it a look. It's fucking great. And
you
do not have to like the game to watch it. You don't have to even have played the game.
You don't even necessarily have to know that it is a video game.
Yeah. Walton Goggins is inspired. I mean, the fact that he didn't win Emmys and shit for his, I just don't get it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But hey, gang, that's it for the news.
Ooh, wait, I'm going to interrupt. I totally forgot, you guys. I went and saw Tron Ares, too.
Oh. forgot I watched Tron and Tron 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
To get ready for Ares if I ever get any money and can go see it.
I
forgot anything about Tron 2. I know I've seen it. I've forgotten everything about it.
So Tron Ares, I saw in 3D, and honestly, so I'm not always a big 3D movie goer, but it worked really well in 3D. So if you can see it in 3D, honestly, I'd recommend it for this one. It was really good. I was a little concerned because it is Jared Leto, and he doesn't have a great track record, you guys.
He keeps picking shitty movies. He's a good actor.
He does. He's a great actor. I adore him as an actor, but he's been in several shitty movies in the last few years. But Tron Ares was really well done. It was really, really good. I really enjoyed it. I struggled. Now, it has been many, many, many years since I've seen the original Tron. But the original Tron didn't make sense in my brain. I remember just feeling like I had no idea what I just watched. Mm-hmm. And Tron 2 was better, but this one, I understood what was going on. So, for me, it was fantastic.
Original Tron that I rewatched a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And have not seen since it was originally in the theaters.
Oh, wow.
Because all I remember was, this is a boring movie. Well,
right.
I don't think much different, but I see what it was and how and what the message was. And the message is so poignant today. It is more relevant than the sequel that I watched. There's from 2010.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's basically like evil AI, not quite Terminator, and you're like, "Oh, okay. That's a bad special effect, but it's still a spooky idea."
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I gotta go see Ares at some point. Yeah. Probably when it's streaming.
Yeah. Ares is AI becomes sentient. So there you go. There you go.
Only a matter of time. Yeah.
Only a matter of time. That's why I say please and thank you to Alexa.
It will be after it has completely taken my jobs away from me.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. That's what I'm waiting for. That's still it for the news.
Yep.
All right, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're talking comics.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters.
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner. I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And Tiffany.
I just wanted to talk to you for a second about Patreon. At Patreon, you get special content every week that we record. We do a show on Patreon just for you, the listener. Now, what do we get in exchange for that? Cash money.
We're not rappers. I don't know what to do that. Cash money. Money rules everything around us.
It really does. It absolutely does, including the cost to host these shows. That's all this pays for. We don't do anything else fun with it because we still don't make enough in Patreon to cover the cost of hosting the shows. So why don't you join us? It's a lot of fun. We're a little more inappropriate. We're a little more ribald. We're a little more risible.
Sometimes we're a little more high.
Yes.
Definitely more high.
Definitely more high. So join us over at patreon.com/defenmedia. Patreon.com/defenmedia.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
So let's see. I am being held hostage by an angry toddler at the moment. My colorist sent me an email saying, I've only got 5 pages left. Now it's 4. I've only got 5 pages left, but my son just turned 2, and I can't believe how much of my time he's taking now.
Yeah, those toddlers, man, they're needy.
And dangerous. Insistent. Yeah. And they can move, unlike when they were tiny, you know?
Right.
It's like if you're not on top of them, they will be destroying your house, you know? So I'm like, I've raised two children. I completely understand. And please try to get the work done as quickly as possible. Oh, my God. That was rough. That's about the only report I have for Shaolin Nun. We're four pages out. I'll be at Wasatch Comic Con, November 7th and 8th. It's a free con if you're in the state of Utah. It's held at the Valley Fair Mall in West Valley City. That's right off of I-215. So whichever direction you're coming to get to, the Valley Fair Mall, you know, it's just right off a freeway exit. So it's easy to get to. I'll be there. Doug Wagner will be there. Adrian Ropp will be there. Probably Sal Velluto. We're not getting any out-of-towners this time around. Things just didn't work out this year for it, but they've already lined up. Roger and Charles have both told me they've lined up some pretty big names. They won't tell me the names yet, but they've lined up some pretty big names for next year. So
nice.
To the point where they're more excited about next year than they are this year. So I talked to Charles last year. It was kind of a hodgepodge as to where we were because things got changed on him last minute. This year he's not letting that happen. So we'll still be in kind of that main entrance, you know, where they put everything.
Uh-huh.
And it's down from the movie theater or just off the main entrance where you go out to Cup Bop. But we'll be down the middle. All the creators will be down the middle, and then all the vendors that come in will be down the sides.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. Worth coming to find out. Meet local creators. All of us are independent comic book artists and writers. None of us, I mean, if we were asked, we would work for Marvel or DC. But and Doug has worked for Marvel and DC, as has Adrian, and has Sal. But at the moment, we're all doing our own individual work. So I would absolutely be a whore and work for Marvel or DC if they came and asked me. Yes. I would. But, you know, I don't have any. Yeah, I'm not doing that currently. And you'll get to meet a lot of local creators. You know, pull some money together.
Right.
Because you'll be able to pick up some cool shit while you're there. And I think my friend Jason Anderson will be there with his novels, probably as a vendor. Good time to check some of that stuff out. I edited quite a few of those. So if you're curious which one to buy, come ask me and I'll tell you. Yeah.
Fair.
Yep. And let's now dive into some comic book news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice,
Marvel is ending the Ultimate Universe again next year.
Again.
I think since
it's 2010 all over again, man.
Well, I mean, fuck them. What's selling for Marvel right now? It's as I recall from just a few months ago, it's Ultimate stuff. For the most part, that's the majority of what was moving out. And that seems to be, when you look at the sales sheets, what they're selling. And so, of course, Marvel's going to be like, well, it's taken away from our regular universe. We better cancel it.
Same shit happened in 2000, in early 2000, the early 2000s. Ultimate Spider-Man, Ultimate X-Men, the Ultimates, they all were outselling their regular counterparts. And so they actually pulled writers were working on Ultimates over the Ultimate books over to the mainstream Marvel books to bring everything back, you know, to get readers back over there. And then eventually just, you know, by pulling those writers off of the Ultimate works, sales went down. And so they're like, okay, we're going to end the Ultimate Universe. the biggest one, of course, being Brian Michael Bendis writing Spider-Man. Oh my God, what a great run he'd had on that Ultimate Spider-Man. And including the introduction of Miles Morales, which pissed off Rush Limbaugh, which we talked about on the Left Show and launched this show. So the fact that we're ending the Ultimates again, it's like they were like, no, I'm sure when he went to him and said, I want to bring back the Ultimates, they're like, there's a time limit because it's going to be more popular than anything. They were right.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it was retailer day at New York Comic Con, and they got up and announced that they were killing it, to which the crowd went, "The fuck?" And he's like, yeah, you think we're lying, but we're not. Okay, yeah, it's a bad business decision. I don't know who didn't see it coming.
Right.
Yep. DC Comics is announcing 10 new titles for their Vertigo revival. This is very exciting. We've got, let's see, Bleeding Hearts from Denise Camp. We've got End of Life from Kyle Starks. We got Brutal Dark for Ezra Kane, an Ezra Kane mystery by Chris Condon. We like him.
Yeah. Yep.
Love Chris Condon.
Nice House by the Sea. So Tinian the Fourth. What else we got? Black Tower, The Raven Conspiracy by Ram V. I like Ram V a lot.
And he's pairing up with Mike Perkins. I love Mike Perkins' art. So
Mm. 100 Bullets, The U.S. of Anger. This is Azzarello.
Yeah, 100 Bullets was one of the last series published under the Vertigo imprint in the early 2000s and was hugely popular. So the fact that Azzarello is bringing back 100 Bullets and bringing it into our current level of bullshit in this country.
Yep.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Necratius by Tom Taylor. That looks like it's about dinosaurs and people fighting dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, didn't bad idea just do that a minute ago, you know, when they stole it from Land of the Lost, for Christ's sake. Fanatic, Grace Ellis. A Walking Shadow from Simon Spurrier. I do like Simon Spurrier.
Mm-hmm.
What else we got? The Crying Doll from Mariko Tamaki. And that's it.
Mariko Tamaki coming in and doing a book is a big deal to me. Also, the one by Chris Condon, The Brutal Dark, is got art by Jacob Phillips, who recently worked with Chip Zdarsky on a noir book. So it's going to be noir stuff, and I love that. But I like, Azzarello said, because some of you didn't like how the original series ended, meaning 100 Bullets, this was going to end with a blank page, and you can write your own ending.
Nice.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Dear whiners, go fuck yourselves.
Go fuck. You don't like it, write your own ending. Yeah.
There you go. I mean,
I was going to paint it black and do a Sopranos ending.
Exactly.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. All right. This one is a point of personal privilege. We talk about games from time to time. We just don't really have a segment for it, so I put this one in comic book news. But Ubisoft broke my heart. Just found this out a couple weeks back. Ubisoft reportedly canceled an Assassin's Creed game that had our assassin killing members of the Ku Klux Klan.
God damn it.
I would have bought it twice.
I know you would have.
Have a backup
copy.
That
sounds amazing. Why would you cancel that?
This was pointed out yesterday after the No Kings rallies across the country and around the world, and how huge they were everywhere, even in red states. And one of the things that was pointed out was retailers will now need to pay attention to that and shift what they're doing back to what we want them to do, because they've operated under the opinion that everybody wants the Trumpian viewpoint, and this is proving that we don't.
Yeah, how's that working out for you, Target?
Yeah. And the same thing here. This is again trying to protect against the Trumpian viewpoint killing off Ku Klux Klan members. I'm like, yeah. Now you just had the No Kings march, No Kings rallies. What do you think is going on, Ubisoft? Yeah.
So yeah, it was an Assassin's Creed sequel that would have been around the time of the American Civil War, with a black protagonist in conflict with the Klan. Boo, Ubisoft.
Boo.
What they said was too political in a country, too unstable to make it short. Yeah, so go fuck yourself, Ubisoft.
Yep.
I mean, You had a chance to do something epic. You failed at it. You failed miserably. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's it for the news, gang.
Well, let's talk about what we've been reading this week. Joss?
I read a bunch, so we're going to do it kind of quick. Time Waits. That was Chip Zdarsky. About a year ago.
Distillery.
Yeah, Distillery Comics. I had read the first one. I hadn't gotten back to picking up number two and three. And then I had breakfast with a friend who said, "Oh, I brought you something." And it was all three issues of Time Waits. So aww. I got to sit down and finally read that. I know, isn't that sweet?
Yep.
I loved it. It was such a good storyline. It was such a good book. If you guys didn't read it, you really need to. Because it was great. You guys, I'm sad. I'm sad. Daredevil, Saladin Ahmed is done. I just read the last issue of Daredevil from Saladin Ahmed. I know. And I have yet to see a solicitation for a new number one. So everybody keep me in your thoughts and prayers for right now, because that's rough.
They're right there. They're all yours.
Thanks, babe. All right. Kill All Immortals 2 came out, the first issue. This is Norse mythology. In the first volume, it was the family fighting each other. In this volume, it's going to be Odin's family fighting other immortals for fun. And they're mortal because they killed the Tree of Life, you guys. So that's great. Ooh, I picked up the Mortal Thor, number one and two. Al Ewing is writing this. Mm-hmm. I've never read a Thor comic before. That's a lie. I have read Thor, but not in depth. And this is a great, if you've never read Thor and you want to read Thor, this is a great jumping on point because it's a whole new start. It's a whole new origin story from what I can tell. And it's fantastic.
We've hit the reboot on Thor.
Yep. They're rebooting Thor. So it's a good jumping on point if you want to read Thor. Wonder Woman 25 is great. Diana gets called a coward because she won't join the resistance against the Mouse Man, because Mouse Man knows.
And
mice have ears. And then Absolute Wonder Woman 11 and 12 wrapped up the 5-part series about Diana's mothers. And she finds the mascara. So the mascara. I always say it wrong. Anyway. Mm-hmm. So all of my books, that's not even all of them, but that's what I managed to read. And so, Jeff, any comic books this week?
Nope. Reading Fair Project enough. Hail Mary by Andy Weir.
How was that?
Chapter one was great.
Nice.
It's been a week. It's been a couple of weeks.
Right.
So, yeah, but that's fair. That's it. And that's because Caught the Martian. On DVD the other day. It was fantastic. Mm.
Nice.
So
nice.
What about you, sir?
Let's see. We had Return to Planet Hulk number one by Greg Pak, who was the original one for Planet Hulk. This was sort of going back to the early days of the Green Scar and everything and what he was going to become. I think this was a one and done. They could turn it into like a little mini series, but it all takes place during Greg Pak's run of Planet Hulk. So I think it's mostly to keep trademarks in place. The war has ended. Not really. We're about to fight one. The War by Garth Ennis, though, and Becky Cloonan. They've completed their 3-issue run on this one. This is reprinting a 7-part series they did in a Boom Studios anthology book from a couple of years ago. This is basically a nuclear war has happened. And this group of New York millennials are trying to figure their way through it. And the ending is, I want to say it's very Garth Ennis and very confusing. So I'm not sure why the choice was made at the end. Only Garth knows. I don't. Speaking of why did it end this way? They Choose Violence has ended with issue number 5 of 5. This is by Sheldon Allen and Maurice Camtella. This one is about this group of black women who decide they've had enough of this white people getting away with their shit. and they take it upon themselves to mete out justice very violently and bloodily. And then they find out they discover a traitor in their midst, and the traitor is working for this group of white supremacists who have basically started doing to the black community what they were doing to the white community. And the this final issue is supposed to be the confrontation to find out what was going on. And they really don't give me any information and just sort of end it. And I was like, well, I don't like that ending. Give me one more issue. But this was issue 5 of 5. So he must think it's cool to end it that way. I fucking don't, but he probably does. Then we have Captain America number 4. This is by Chip Zdarsky. So again, Cap, this takes place right after Cap got out of the ice. And he immediately rejoined the army because what else would you do when you were a soldier? And they sent him on a clandestine mission. The lesson of this issue: when on a clandestine mission, you should always make certain that everyone is on the same mission.
Oh,
look at you, Black Widow, from that movie.
Yep. Always make sure, because they may surprise you when they reveal what their mission is, and you're like, "What? Wait, what? I thought we were here to do this, and you're doing that." And this isn't even Steve. It's the other Captain America learning it. And I was like, dude, oh my God, this sucks. And yeah, you should have checked. I get Steve not checking. I get Steve being completely naive about altruism and everything. This guy should have fucking known.
Right?
He should have checked. So yeah, it's a good issue. I'm really enjoying this run of Zdarsky's run on Captain America. Because it's even though it takes place 10 years ago, because in the Marvel universe, all the origins took place 10 years ago. You know, Iron Man got trapped in a cave or got put into a cave and built the armor. Steve got thawed out from the ice a couple of years after that. You know, Donald Blake found the hammer of Thor. All that happened just 10 years ago, as far as Marvel is concerned. And they will retcon the origins to get you there every single time.
Right.
But in this case, this is... It may have happened 10 years ago, but there are echoes of what's going on now, you know, and I like that. Same with One World Under Doom, which had I just read the penultimate issue, and oh my God, the ending here, it's like Doom triumphant, but is he? Yeah. Anyway, that is what I have read. Today is Tuesday. That means tomorrow's Wednesday. It's time to give our picks of the week.
You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
So what are you looking forward to this week, Joss?
From DC Comics, Absolute Wonder Woman number 13. Because I love it. I love it.
Because 11 and 12 were great. So, yeah.
Yeah, because 11 and 12 were fantastic. And so I'm going to get 13. Look at that. Mm-hmm. Kelly Thompson is killing this. I am really loving this take on Wonder Woman. So I'm not reading any of the other Absolute titles out of DC right now, but I hear that they are really well done as well. So check those out, apparently. Jeff, how about you? What's your pick of the week?
Pick of the week. Uncle Scrooge, Earth's Mightiest Duck. Didn't even know it was back in production.
Nice.
As Jason Aaron writing about Scrooge McDuck. What's not to like?
Exactly.
And then there's a Swamp Thing compendium coming out. And I'm just waiting for the page to load. It's just sitting there. It's just spinning on me.
Just take your time.
Yeah. Not like we're in the middle of something, Mr. Thing. But yeah, Swamp Thing. Len Wein and Kelly Jones. Mm-hmm. So that one's coming out. It's going to be $50 from DC in trade. It's a deluxe edition. Those are usually pretty nice. Not as nice as the Absolutes, but, you know, very nice nonetheless.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's it. What do you got, buddy?
Let's see. From DC Comics, Why the Last Man Unmanned. This is by the Brian K. Vaughan and Pia Guerra.
Ooh.
This is in DC. This is a DC compact. So they're taking the trade of Why the Last Man Unmanned, which is the story of the last man on Earth and his quest to find love, hope, and answers in a world turned upside down. It's a story of a man and his monkey alone in a world now run by women. But he's their only choice. He's their only chance to have offspring now. And so he's of course in high demand.
He's real tired. That's what you're telling me.
He's real tired from running because it turns out they're all nuts. You got to find the nutty ones always come out first. But anyway, he's trying to navigate his new society, holding on to his humanity, the weight of being the last man. This collects Why the Last Man, numbers 1-10 by Brian K. Vaughan in the compact edition, which honestly, the DC compact editions, we kind of made fun of them at first because we're like, yeah, you're gonna need a magnifying glass, but no, they're very readable.
Quite nice.
They're very cool. They fit on a bookshelf, and they're always a good price. You know, this one $9.99 for this book, and you can get Why the Last Man 1-10 by Brian K. Vaughan. Do it.
Nice. I'll have to check that out.
Yep. From Boom Studios, because it's the season. We've got Hello Halloween. Some horror stories from Boom Studios.
Fun.
So the anthology series returns with another chilling installment of bone-rattling horror. So, yeah. Top talent, can't miss, Graveyard Club story from R.L. Stine. So that's one of the creators. There'll be a bunch of others as well. Really cool Jenny Frisson cover, by the way, that I'm looking at. So, and then from Drawn and Quarterly, another indie pick. Nine times my work has been ripped off by Raymond Bessinger, an informal self-defense guide for independent creators. This is exactly, I mean, Adrian Ropp has been complaining about this recently, finding places where AI has stolen his work and people have resold his work as their own. I've had that happen to me, where things have been stolen from me, and it's like, yeah, how many times can your work get ripped off? So, yeah, this one's going to be worth checking out. It's $18.95 from Drawn and Quarterly. It's going to be a graphic novel by Raymond Bessinger. How about you, Joss, or how about you, Jeff? What are your indie picks?
I'm going to go Image Comics is putting out the All Negro Comics, America's first black comic book.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a collection. Trade paperback. It's going to run $13. The first comic ever created by African Americans for African Americans in the golden age of comic books. Orin C. Evans led a team of black cartoonists to create the first comic book anthology of nominal black characters with the expressed purpose of entertaining while rejecting harmful stereotypes and pushing boundaries in the industry. This one's historic as fuck, and I am looking forward to it. It's a winner of the Eisner Award. I mean, I don't have one.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, they're giving away pretty good. Titan Comics, The Huge Detective. This one's coming out in a trade paperback for $20. It's Adam Rose, and from what I have heard, a delightful fucking book. A seriously good story. So,
nice.
Yeah, with a very big detective. You'll see. Just go pick it up. What about you, Jocelyn?
From Dark Horse Comics, Captain Henry and the Graveyard of Time, number one. An intrepid time traveler voyages to a new dimension, but the monsters he finds there may be less of a danger than time itself. It's Mike Mignola and Bruce Zick, and it is an uncharted corner of the Hellboy universe. So, I'm really digging time travel lately, apparently, judging by my comic book choices. So, we're going to pick it up and see what we think. And that's all I've got for a pick of the week.
All right. Well, let's hop in the TARDIS and we'll head to December to give our picks of the future. All right. What are you looking forward to here in December, Jess?
From Marvel Comics and writer Steve Orlando and more, Meals to Astonish number one. Daily Bugle food critic Chet Chikowski and intrepid, oh my God, that word again, photographer Peter Parker are headed downtown for the opening of a brand new world-class restaurant. But when Rhino interrupts the festivities, it's up to Spider-Man and his friends to save the day and their dinner. I like little side stories out of the Spider-Man universe. They just make me chuckle. So I'm going to pick it up and give it a read. How about you, Jeff? What are you picking up in the future?
Adventure Man Volume 2, the trade paperback. I've read Volume 1. I found it delightful, and I'm interested to see where the story goes. That's a Matt Fraction joint. It's him, Terry Dodson, Rachel Dodson. It's a beautiful book. You know, you'll love the art, but the Fraction story is a lot of fun, too. So, 10 steps removed from Odyssey. Wah, wah. What about you, sir?
From Dark Horse Comics, we have Cyberpunk 2077 Chrome number one, written by friend of the show, Doug Wagner, with art by Tommaso Bonato. So this is part of the whole Cyberpunk 2077 thing. Cyberpunk 2077 is a role-playing game. It's a video game you can play. And Dark Horse has been doing a run of these short six-issue things from different writers and artist teams for that world. So this one is a group of friends, including a netrunner, a fire graffiti artist, an aspiring rocker boy, and an auto techie, set off for a fun photo shoot at a landfill where among heaps of rubbish, scrap, and metal, they'll find a shot to die for. Rumor has it the place is haunted, and they're about to find out. In Night City, there are things far more frightening than ghosts.
Ooh.
So, dark comedy horror, as only Doug Wagner can bring it, coming from Dark Horse. So, if you want this, go to your local comic book shop, order it now. You want to get this one. Even if you're not into cyberpunk, we'll get Doug on here next month to try to talk to him about it, because... there's a lot that's in here that I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm familiar with it. But I'm like, am I the only one familiar with it? With when they say Netrunners and Rocker Boys, I'm like, I totally get it. But that's only because I'm very familiar with cyberpunk. Anyway, that is my pick for the future.
Nice.
Nice.
I guess that's it, right, kids?
You betcha. Yep.
Well, I will invite you, as I did at the beginning of the show, to join us on Patreon, patreon.com/dfinmedia, where every week we add extra content that is only for our Patreon subscribers. This week, the 10 worst Marvel relaunches following a major event. The 10 worst Marvel relaunches following a major event.
They narrowed it down to 10?
They narrowed it down to 10. And what's funny is the cover photo for it. I'm like, yeah, that one.
Agreed.
That's the one. I'm like, we're taking this list because that's the one I agree with. It's a list from CBR by Leah Bernstein. We're going to have a conversation about it. So if you want to find out what the 10 worst Marvel relaunches following a major event were, you need to join us on Patreon, patreon.com/dfinmedia. In the meantime, I will say, as I always do, until the new Captain America doesn't check with the rest of the team, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
For Asgard.